Ja, guten Morgen, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, herzlich willkommen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Siemens press conference for Q1 of fiscal 2018. Thank you very much for following our invitation right here to the Olympic Hall. Of course, it is very early in the morning, and also thank you ever so much for everyone who is joining us online. Of course, we also offer English translation. Please select channel 2. Now, a few housekeeping remarks ahead of time. I would like to ask you to turn your phones on mute throughout the press conference. And of course, to all the photographers, I would like to ask you to not use flash throughout the event. Thank you very much for that. Now, a quick rundown of the press conference. Our CEO, Mr. Kayser, and also our CFO, Dr. Thomas, will first of all give you an overview of the numbers for Q1. Then, of course, our Chief Human Resources Officer, Ms. Kugel, will give you some information regarding the discussions with the employee representatives regarding the restructuring topic of the power and gas division. And Mr. Zen will then talk about the public listing and the process for Siemens Healthineers. Some of you might have seen the Siemens Healthineers Capital Market Day 2 weeks ago in London. For everybody else, we'll have a short update today. Following that, of course, all four board members will be available for your questions. However, at 8:15 at the very latest, we're going to have to end the press conference due to the fact that Mr. Kayser and Dr. Thomas will have to go to the analyst telephone call. And therefore, I would like to ask you to be understanding if we can't answer all of your questions. At 10 a.m., of course, our AGM begins, and you are cordially invited to join the event from the media workroom or from the journalist's stage area. Now, for that, in the hall, you cannot record neither audio or video. And now over to Mr. Kayser.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Haller. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for coming to the Olympia Halle at this time of the day, and maybe you just dialed in to listen over the phone. We are off to a strong start in the current fiscal year, that is 2018, and now I would like to give you an outlook for the entire year. We can say that particularly gratifying is the very strong order intake in the first quarter, resulting in a record-setting order backlog of 128 billion. Now this means, and this is very important for us, customers trust us. And if you look at the competitors' figures published so far, then you see that we are really gaining further market share. And this can be seen in particular at the Digital Factory division. Now, our investments in digitalization beginning to pay off worldwide, and I believe we can say so without exaggeration, we are recognized worldwide as the, as they say today, as a thought leader and a market leader in the field of industrial digitalization. This is not only how magazines and consulting companies see it, but above all, our customers see it like this. And I think like many other businesses, we have also performed very well, and in individual cases, when comparing versus the previous year, we need to keep in mind positive extraordinary items in the prior year quarter, as well as current adverse currency effects. Siemens, as a whole, is in a very good, solid shape overall. Even the power and gas division, despite the ongoing slump in comparison with our competitors, did an outstanding job. And I can say that the order intake here, we have achieved stability. Nevertheless, and I think this became very clear, business developments are showing that our call for action, which has been outlined for a long time, is necessary. It has become even more urgent. And the claims that our plants in Offenbach, Erfurt, Mülheim or Görlitz are operating at full capacity or are even profitable are a myth or voices from the past. I can only say that they've got nothing to do with today's reality. The declining market for fossil power generation is not a temporary slump, and it shows the expected dramatic development that we'll only be able to address, and we must address them by taking strategic measures. You know, My colleagues and the chief HR officer, Janina Kugel, have talked to the representatives of the employees. You will get more information about this later. And this brings me to the figures of the first year. I hand over to my colleague.
Thank you very much, Joe, and also a very good morning from my side, ladies and gentlemen. Now on Siemens overall, Siemens' economic strength was evident in the first quarter of the new fiscal year. Overall, we've gotten off to a good start, and in many areas, even a very good start in some businesses. Orders rose nominally year over year by a very strong 14% to 22.5 billion euros. On a comparable basis, that is adjusted for portfolio and currency translation effects, orders were up by 7%. Revenue increased nominally by 3% to 19.8 billion euro. And by 1% on a comparable basis. The book-to-bill ratio, which of course is the ratio between orders and revenue, was a striking 1.13. Now, net income rose by 12% to 2.2%. So that was a very positive development as well, and 5 of the 8 units in our industrial business were at or within their target margin ranges. Siemens Financial Services and the Digital Factory and Mobility divisions were even above their target margin ranges. At the Power and Gas division, we can see clearly the ignoring the situation, staying away or waiting are not viable options, and this also holds true somewhat for the Process Industries and Drives division. And as Joe already mentioned, we have very strong portfolio and currency effects in the first quarter. So this is what burdened our orders by 5 percentage points and the revenue points by 4 percentage points. The euro strength relative to many of the currencies had corresponding effects. Portfolio transactions, on the other hand, added 12 percentage points to order growth and 6 percentage points to revenue growth. The profit margin for the industrial business was at 11.0%. Now, substantial tax effects had a positive impact on income from continuing operations and net income. The tax rate was an extraordinarily low 6%. The tax reform in the United States, the heart of which is a reduction of the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, had a strong impact. On this basis, we've revalued the future-oriented tax positions on our balance sheet. The net positive effect in the first quarter was at 437 million euro. The largely tax-free gain of 655 million on the sale of our shares in Osram Licht AG also had a positive effect. However, you should keep in mind that the IPO of Healthineers, as well as the carve-out of the mobility divisions, are now impending, and we expect tax burdens from these transactions. Now, taking these effects into account, we're now assuming a tax rate for fiscal 2018 at the lower end of our forecast range of 27 to 33%. The free cash flow rose by 22% in the first quarter, which is quite positive, to about 900 million euro. Let's now turn to the developments at our individual divisions. In each case, you will be able to see the profit margin compared to the same quarter of the previous year and also compared to the margin range. The market environment for the Power and Gas division remains persistently difficult. Markets are shrinking. There are massive overcapacities. Competition is extremely tough. And all of this, of course, is evident in the key figures for the first quarter. The division's profit declined by nearly half compared to the prior year quarter. The profit margin was 7.6%. Volume 2 reflects these structural changes. In the first quarter, revenue fell by 15% on a comparable basis. Orders declined slightly on a comparable basis. Now, during the first quarter, we booked orders from Libya for 2 gas-fired power plants. Now, our service business is doing very well on the top line. We actually have an order backlog of 31 billion euro and expect that we'll continue to impress our customers with innovative digital services. Now, our energy management division And the rounded off figure for that was in the target margin range. The margin at 6.7% was at the prior year level, but this figure was adversely affected by strongly negative currency effects of minus 80 basis points. Now, Building Technologies had a profit margin of 9.7% and again remained well within its target margin range in the first quarter. This figure, actually the revenue grew by a gratifying 5% and was primarily driven by strong demand in China and the United States. Now on to Mobility. This division showed a further outstanding quarter with double-digit growth in revenue and orders. Two large orders from Israel as well as the United States were booked in the first quarter. Now, solid project execution remains the mainstay of the division's profitability. We're proud that the ICE4 was able to begin successful passenger service as planned. This truly was an outstanding achievement on the part of the employees of Siemens and Deutsche Bahn. The profit margin of 10.4% was above the division's target margin range and well above the industry average. The Digital Factory, which also delivered an excellent operating performance in the first quarter, is continuing its success story. At 20.1%, the division's profit margin exceeded its target margin range. Now, more and more customers want to leverage the benefits of linking the real and the virtual world of manufacturing, and Siemens is their preferred partner. Overall, volume grew on a broad basis, especially in the short-cycle business, where the machine building and automotive industries were particularly strong. Now, our new arrival, Mentor Graphics, was able, during the last quarter, to win a whole series of major software contracts, and our digital enterprise strategy is working out exactly as planned. Now, we expect to significantly outpace the market in the future, going forward as well. At the Process Industries and Drives division, however, the picture is mixed. While weak demand for mechanical components continues to cause us problems, businesses with commodity-related industries showed further signs of stabilization. Now, order growth, when looking at another component, is 10%, and this is, of course, a clear sign that volume is beginning to return. All regions contributed to this development, including in particular China and Germany. Now, the division's profit margin of 7.3% achieved despite significant negative currency effects also provides motivation to achieve even more going forward. The Siemens Healthineers, of course, also got off to a good start this fiscal year, although volume was burdened by significant currency translation effects. On a comparable basis, both revenue and orders rose by 2%. Revenue was driven primarily by the advanced therapies business and led on a regional basis by China. The market launch of our Atelica laboratory diagnostic system is gaining steam. Now, the first 100 systems were delivered as planned, and the customer feedback has been truly excellent. The division's profitability remained at a high level with a profit margin of 16.9%, and reasons for a decline included clearly negative currency translation effects, as well as a less favorable business mix compared to the strong first quarter 1 year ago. My managing board colleague Michelsen will later on go and discuss our healthcare business in greater detail. Now to Siemens Gamesa Renewable Energy. In the first quarter, Siemens Gamesa booked major orders for an offshore wind farm in Denmark and for an onshore wind farm in India, Egypt, and the United States and Thailand. Profitability was burdened, however, by a smaller number of installation activities overall and a decline in prices in the onshore business. Now, on a final and gratifying note, Siemens Financial Services remains a strong pillar that supports our businesses worldwide with tailor-made financing solutions. With an excellent return on equity of 21.8%, SFS has again posted outstanding results in the first quarter of the new fiscal year. Now, with that being said, it is my pleasure to hand over to Janina Kugel.
Auch von meiner Seite.
Thank you. I would like to wish you a wonderful good morning. I know that I've got a very low voice, but I think it will be possible to talk over the next 60 minutes. You know, we have to underscore the fact, refers to the developments in the first quarter, that we now really have to take action in this division. We presented details on the situation last November, but in addition to investments in innovation, our plans call, among other things, for cutting several jobs worldwide. But nevertheless, we try to find solutions which are acceptable. Surely we started to talk to the representatives of the employees, and I believe we are in a very good process these days, very orderly, and we hope that we will have reason for hope that we can reach a good agreement. In concrete terms, two series of talks are currently underway. First, we are holding specialized exploratory talks with the Siemens Central Works Council and with the works councils of the locations affected. In these talks, we're discussing the present plans in an intensive dialogue. But nevertheless, we are holding so-called structural exploratory talks. This is a structural agreement, as we call it. And here we are talking to the employee representatives about the structural change, how we want to organize it, how we want to shape it, how we can develop concepts for shaping the transformation of this industry jointly and in a forward-looking manner. And this is certainly a discussion which is not only necessary for us, but it is also important in other branches of industries. And we can say that both these exploratory talks are currently being conducted in an objective and constructive manner. And please understand that we don't wish to comment on individual items under discussion or on any interim results. And surely, we cannot anticipate any of the outcomes of these ongoing talks. And I believe that lots of things which have happened over the last few months, and if I'm going to divulge this information, this is certainly not in the interest of our colleagues. And, you know, now our workforce at the various sites and locations can discuss all this in a very relaxed manner. And now I hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Janina. Now, ladies and gentlemen, good morning from my side. I'm going to be presenting to you our thoughts behind the preparations for the planned initial public offering of Siemens Healthineers, and I am also going to inform you about the status of these preparations as they stand today. Now, we want to set up Siemens Healthineers as a vertical industry leader. This means it is a focused and globally successful industry specialist, and we're convinced that Siemens Healthineers will play a key role in shaping the future of healthcare. Now, the logic behind our plans is intuitive and as follows. First, Siemens Healthineers is active in a highly attractive market today. Mega or giga trends even are driving sustainable long-term growth that is unaffected by business cycles. Now, at the same time, the healthcare market is undergoing rapid and profound change. The so-called paradigm shift is real. The industry is in the midst of a systemic transformation, the transformation from volume-based to outcome-based approaches. So, of course, this is always result and use-based approaches. Now, the patient is taking center stage, and we're talking about precision medicine, tailored treatments, and therapies. Those are the buzzwords of the day. And of course, there are also technological advances such as digitalization, data analytics, and the use of artificial intelligence. All those factors are, of course, driving this disruption forward. Second, Siemens Healthineers has outstanding starting and competitive positions in this market. Now, with our products and services, we're positioned at the center of clinical decision-making, and this is putting us in such a positive position. And these decisions influence the quality and efficiency of healthcare significantly. Now, in view of our strength, we are, well, if you will, predestined to be a logical player when it comes to shaping the healthcare systems of the future. Now, third, the IPO of Siemens Healthineers will give Siemens Healthineers the entrepreneurial flexibility that it needs to reach its full potential and to further thrive in this market. Now, all of this, of course, is clearly defined in our Healthineers Strategy 2025. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are enthusiastic about this business, and Siemens will be an active and long-term shareholder in Siemens Healthineers. Now, what this means is that the strategic approach is clear, but please allow me to say a few words about the framework conditions going forward. Regarding the ownership structure, Siemens will publicly list an appropriate minority interest in Siemens Healthineers in order to create a liquid market. Siemens Healthineers will remain fully consolidated at Siemens. Now, regarding the dividend policy, Siemens Healthineers plans a dividend payout of 50 to 60% based on net income, in keeping with its growth and profit profile. Now, regarding branding, Siemens Healthineers will continue to use the strength of the Siemens brand because it stands for integrity, a passion for innovation, and trust around the globe. Now, depending on market conditions, plans call for the Siemens Healthineers listing to take place during the first half of the calendar year of 2018. And of course, our preparations are currently on schedule, but everything is dependent on market conditions. And with that, back over to Joe Kaeser.
Thank you very much, Michael, Janina, Ralf. Now, first about health engineering. You know, people talk about this paradigm shift and also love to think back of the old times and how good it was. And maybe you heard that Amazon and J.P. Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway, so the investment company of Mr. Buffett, is now analyze the health market in the United States. So we can assume that the intention of this corporation will result in a completely new assessment and evaluation of the system and will certainly lead to new processes. You see, this is all to be seen in the context of digitalization. And you can see that the Internet, you know, addresses the inefficiencies. And the Internet, ladies and gentlemen, also addresses mediocrity. And therefore, it is so important that we really see and watch the business operations of the leading actor in this market. Now, this was an outlook of the current situation. I would like to sum up. I think it is not exaggerated to say that we really had a good start into the new fiscal year. And I don't think it is exaggerated that in the first quarter we were able to display and show and underline the strength of our business operations in many areas and, of course, also shaping the development in the context of digitalization. Now, looking at the fiscal year and also against the backdrop of the material adverse effects from, you say, exchange rate developments, and I'm sure that our CFO knows this much better than I do, I can only say that this will be about 60 to 80 basis points, and this would certainly be a sustainable or lasting change of what we have planned. Nevertheless, we are quite upbeat, we are quite optimistic that we will have enough strength to balance out these adverse effects. Surely, we know about our opportunities and chances. And, ladies and gentlemen, we also are very well aware of our tasks and assignments. We see the challenges, the challenges which we face when it comes to the structural part of our business. And I believe the industrial, and I underline the industrial development, is only in its infancy, and we have to get together with our with the representatives of the employees in order to make progress, and this is not always that easy. Our strategy program, Vision 2020, has been largely completed, or, you know, its implementation is well on its way. And I can say, summing up the development, I can say that we are really doing or implementing all this successfully and more successfully and faster than planned. Now, you see, one of the trailblazers, one of the pioneers for the new Siemens, has got his last working day today. In 2 hours, the annual general meeting will start, and today Dr. Kromme's position as the chairman of the supervisory board will come to an end today. And surely I'm going to elaborate on this in my speech at the AGM. But today I would like to thank Mr. Kromme for this very close, trustworthy and highly efficient cooperation with the managing board and others. Dr. Kromme is certainly a great personality in German industry and has been so for many, many years. And he also has done a lot for Siemens. From my heart, I wish him all the best for the time after Siemens. I think the new tasks he has taken on sound very exciting. It doesn't really sound like retirement. And, you know, new beginnings, you know, this is something which he practiced several times in the past. And as they say today, it's all about startups. Having said that, I would like to conclude this part of our press conference. We are looking forward to your questions and hand over to Clarissa. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we now have half an hour for the Q&A session before we have to close. So I would suggest we start with Mr. Höppner, then Mr. Flemmig, and then Ms. Dollinger. Now I have three questions. First of all, on the power plants. So would it be profitable without UPRIS, or is it a loss-making business? And then also, Mr. Käse, you made hope. You gave hope to the people in Görlitz. Could you give us some detail as to what that means? And also, Ms. Kugel, didn't that make it even more difficult to negotiate for you? And also the third question on the health in years. Can we assume that the IPO will be finished before Easter? So are you really pushing that? Well, lots and lots of great questions. Now, our CFO, I guess, would be best to discuss it. Well, Mr. Höppner, we've talked about this often. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to separate our services business from the other business because customers think in life cycles and not only about the procurement without looking at service and other components. So if we were to really academically break everything down, it wouldn't be great when it comes to our new plant business. I hope that answers the question. So with other words, if the new plant business were completely neutral, the margin would be better. Now, Görlitz, I think, as I've said, we're going to think about what we can do on the individual sites, what competencies we have. And we've also announced that this isn't going to be a short-term development across all sites. It's going to be a long-term development, such as, for example, as it is in Görlitz. And we're actively collaborating with our social partners as well as our businesses, but also with the people in the political sphere. And we're also thinking about what possible investments there could be. But I'm still keeping true to my statement when I say that in the long run, only these jobs that will remain for a long time can give you future prospects. And if we find a solution where we have future-proof businesses and can use those to assure employment opportunities, both in these sites and other sites, we're going to give these solutions because those are the best solutions. But still, I hope that I'm going to be able to tell you a lot more going forward. And the negotiations are simply going to go on, you know, until they go on. And some things happen here, some things happen there. So it's really not at a point where I would give you any conclusive answers to anything. Right. Now, Mr. Höppner, to the Healthineers. The market environment, of course, is currently very attractive. So I really understand your question very well. However, in my remarks, I already said that we're sticking to the roadmap, so the first half of the current calendar year, and we also didn't have an ITF and attention to float publicized. Our current roadmap will simply be followed step by step, and we're fully on track. Mr. Flemmig? Michael Flemmig from the Börsen-Zeitung, also three questions. Mr. Käse, you said Vision 2020, you're going to be faster than expected. Now, are you already looking at the next concept, and do you know when you're going to publish it? Number one. Number two, power and gas, 15% revenue decline on a comparable basis in Q1. When are we going to bottom out? When will we reach the bottom in that? And then, of course, also healthcare technology. You also went on a roadshow. What has the feedback been? And do you also want to vie for private investors? I think, Michael, that's a great question, isn't it? Should I start? So I think that was the kickoff for me. Now, what was the feedback like after the Capital Market Day? And I can still say that this is the prelude, if you will. So we're not yet in the active marketing phase. You usually do that after the ITF. But the feedback was very positive indeed. And this was, number one, due to the transparency that we offered to the markets and also, of course, the depth of our business insights on number one, but also the individual competitive positions, both geographically as well as technologically, and how detailed we were in our explanations. And then, of course, we also talked about the imaging systems and how strong they were. And also, and this is not a secret, is that the potential for additional future growth in lab diagnostics is a given. And of course, all questions are revolving around the Atelica platform, what the customer feedback is there. And this is very, very positive. And we, of course, also have additional data points that we collected in order to give those to the market and roadshows as well as one-on-ones. And number three was that, of course, it was clearly understood that this is a very long-term strategy, which also is counting on elements that truly deals with this paradigm shift. And also the potential for self-help was truly recognized, as well as our field of strength. Now, when it comes to the investors, I think at the end of the day, of course, it's going to be free in the book-building process to do what they want to do. But we're still going to look at the institutional investors first and foremost. Mr. Flemming, on your questions regarding the revenue development for power and gas, as I already hinted at, in our new business, we actually had a declining market development, and with that, of course, also a declining new business, which, of course, has a temporal shift effect, number one. But we also pointed out the fact that we have a very stable services business with a backlog of 31 billion euro. I think that helps us go confidently into the future. And I would like to differentiate strongly between the sequential process or quarter after quarter. I do think that in this context, we are truly very far progressed in a positive upswing. But of course, if I compare it to the previous year's quarter, which we usually do in the quarterly press conferences and analyst conferences, I do think that there's still going to be a negative taste to it, because of course the level was so high previously. Now, we can also summarize it and say that the fossil energy creation in the new businesses and the services business is different. The services business is directly connected, however, to the new business, to the product-related services. So that means the less new business, the less service. So today, of course, we're living off of the orders, the contracts of the past. We simply have to be very clear about that. That's why it's so important. But, of course, the question, is everything so profitable? Well, we can really understand why everybody's getting so upset, because it sounds very plausible, but it's unfortunately completely wrong. This leads us to situations, as we've seen them in the telecommunication sector about a decade ago. That's exactly where everything was bad and horrible as well, in the new businesses segment. But the services actually, well, basically covered up everything until the bitter end, and nothing much was done in order to stop that development. And that is why, of course, we really have to be frank about that, and we cannot let this happen again. So, ladies and gentlemen, it will not happen again. So, regarding the bottoming out process, I do look at that. The large turbine market will, of course, shrink. And I would assume that in the last calendar year, we actually had about 115 large turbines that we saw. So that was the overall market, if you will. And I also had the opportunity to see a few numbers ahead of time for the McCoy statistics. So this is the one thing that says who sold which machines and how many of them were sold. And at least on a relative comparison, we definitely do not need to worry about not being competitive anymore. Now, when it comes to the customer relationship particularly, but of course profitability is something different, and the market leaders of course have also published numbers in this context, and I don't think that I need to comment on those in great detail individually. Now, Mr. Flenich, when I say that we made more progress than, or faster progress than planned with the Vision 2020, then of course that is simply due to the fact that 2020 really was the year 2020. That's exactly what we were talking about. And I can tell you that the management team and all of our colleagues contributed greatly to that development, and we have made some great headway. Now, what makes me say that? I do say that because, of course, we have some parameters that we set ourselves as a goal. We want to be closer to the market, for example, but everybody wants that. But, of course, that is also why you measure that exactly with the customer satisfaction, the net promoter score. So do customers promote you? I hate that term, but I think it describes very well what it is. And the net promoter score has actually increased by 55% since 2013. Just let that sink in for a second, and that's not something that we're setting. This is something that our customers are setting about us. And we're also growing again after many, many years from 75 billion euro. They're depending on the currency effects. We're growing sometimes even faster than the market. And in 2013, we had a margin of 7.5%. In our last fiscal year, it was 11.2. And if you look at the quality of this margin spread across all divisions, you're going to find what in 2013, due to a seller's market, and particularly in the power generation sector, was truly unprecedented. 16, 17, 18, 19%. You didn't have to earn these margins. You simply had to share the love, if you will. And that, of course, has completely changed. If you look at the divisions, if you look at the structures across all areas, we have businesses that truly earn their money, some more, some less, but quality across the board has improved. And believe it or not, but the facts are the way they are. And of course, also employee satisfaction, which is crucial to us, has improved. And we are in such a positive position as we haven't been in a while. Now, amongst 10,000 colleagues that have given us their feedback in the last employee satisfaction study, the results, as I mentioned, were as good as they haven't been in a while. But those are global results. They're not regional or very, very local results. They're global results. And I do think it's important, and that's exactly our Agenda 2020. We do, of course, have our ideas, and in our management team, we've discussed about what we achieved very well, what we can build upon, and we've also discussed about we've discussed those things that we didn't achieve so well and where we have room for improvement, what we want to improve going forward. And we also want to take a look at what the go-to market is, so how we actually talk to our customers, what the customer structures are, how does demand change. And more projects have sort of a business-to-government approach, so a semi-public approach. And you really need to think about what that means. So those are things that we're currently dealing with at the moment. So when will that 2020 plus, or however that agenda is going to be called, when will we publish it, you asked? Well, we already alluded to the second half of the business year. That would also be the right point in time. However, of course, you also have to take into account that we're living in we're undergoing very difficult and very complex discussions with the employee representatives regarding the structural changes in the power and gas division. And I don't know if it's incredibly smart in the midst of these negotiations that aren't finished yet to actually announce a new strategy concept for the next few years. So I actually can reverse that. I do know it's not a smart decision, and that's why we're not doing it. So I think we're just consolidating all of our assets, and we're going to look ahead into the future. But that, of course, also means to structurally handle the past to set the track for the future. And of course, if a new strategy concept comes out of that, I do think everything is solid.
All right, Mrs. Dollinger, you are next on my list. I've got many questions here on my list, and don't worry, this is a long list and nothing will be lost. Just one after the other, please. Well, I've got two questions. Mrs. Kugel, you said that there are structural negotiations talking to the Works Council and the various members of the Works Councils in at the various locations. Now, are you talking about power and gas only, or are other divisions affected as well, or could you give us some idea of what this is all about in principle? Next question about mobility. Mr. Thomas, you mentioned this carve-out. Now, what are the plans? Well, Mrs. Dollinger, carve-out. This is exactly what the word means, meaning business embedded in other business operations, like in various national sales companies, assets, staff. Now, all this that is required to run this business is changed into, say, an independent unit. And then the entire business, in this case mobility, the worldwide business, is to be connected with another company. You know, this is a very technical approach, and I don't know whether we should really discuss this in detail at length now. This is just some kind of exercise, making use of the resources, bundle these resources so that they can be shown and used, harnessed in this world together. I think we are very well versed in this kind of activity, and we are on the right path, sticking and adhering to the schedule we set ourselves. We said that we will be able to handle everything by the end of this year, and surely this requires the authorities to give us the green light. I believe that we are on a good path, and that there will be no, say, negative surprises. Now, the structural negotiations agreements. You see, we talk about Industry 4.0, the business which is in a phase of change. PG, we talk about markets disappearing and will be lost forever, to put it like this. You see, an industry is changing. So what are the new skills? What is the new knowledge people have to learn? What are the new things that you have to learn? Maybe there will be new things emerging, so new groups of jobs. So you think about things. You have to find a solution, and you have to come up with this social plan, as they say in Germany. So you face the situation and can handle things respectively. But conversely, it is also about looking to the future. What can we do in the long run so that a negative situation does not occur in the first place? And this is what these structural negotiations are all about. This does not affect Siemens. This does not affect PG or other industries only. For instance, the car industry, many of these industries have to think about the new situation on account of digitalization. And this is what we tell our partners. How can we shape the future so that we can anticipate any influences in the past? What about trainings, retrainings of our staff so that we can handle any things that happen now or might happen in the future? So it is not only affecting PG, it also affects future processes. And in my opinion, I can say that this is a discussion which is being conducted in other location sites and should be conducted in other sites or in other branches of the industry. Mrs. Sachkamp, Mr. Kuhn. Next. Well, good morning. I've got three questions, one for Mr. Sen, one for Mr. Kayser. Process industries and drives. We know that this sector is affected by the developments in the marketplace and also, you know, jobs to be axed. Are there any other steps which you have to take to make sure that the position of this division is good? Mr. Sen, two questions about health and ears, sure. We have seen a weak quarter. Do you see an effect or do you see a problem for the future forthcoming IPO. And I, you know, talking about the news, yesterday's news, you know, a new healthcare company, Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway. So can you comment on this? Well, Michael, I believe that this is a very good, say, starting point. Let me come to this question about the quarterly figures. At the Capital Market Day, this was announced, i.e. the quarterly on a like-for-like basis, we can say, looking at the growth rates, we would say that this is a modest, say, development. And also the exchange rate influences were communicated to the markets a priori. Because we, at the Capital Market Day, we said that the business is stable on the one hand, but may fluctuate from quarter to quarter. And the only, say, fixed element in the overall pattern is the last quarter. It is always and has always been the strongest quarter in a fiscal year. So this is certainly not an issue when it comes to the IPO. And the developments which we've read about in the papers this morning, and Mr. Kayser confirmed this, you know, these reports confirm that the markets are in a structural change. The United States leading the pack, if you like, particularly when it comes to the expenses in health care, and this in terms of percentages of the gross domestic product, and they cannot keep up the system as they are. The systems have to be changed, have to be modified. You have to look at the outcome. You have to look at the results. You have to look at the benefits. And surely the health insurance companies change. There are lots and lots of vertical, horizontal consolidations, Hepner and CBS. Now this. So there is a huge cost block in the United States, like medical or drug adherence, meaning you have to take drugs regularly. So you are walking along, say, a disease path. And in order to handle this situation, you can handle things using data. Now, Amazon, they can do a lot using these platforms. But, you know, if they get health insurance data, J.P. Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway, you know, they talk about 1 million people at present, and they want to roll it out over the United States. So this will lead to disruptions in the market. And it also means that we have to play a role in this, say, game. And, you know, our products will help us, enable us to improve costs and benefits. Think about these minimally invasive procedures. This is much more cost-effective, you know, in comparison with cutting up your or a patient's chest. So this will save costs for the patients and all in, you know, also for the entire healthcare system. Well, we can say that PG has got most business which are not affected by structural changes, surely metals in mining. So this is where you will find the process industries, and this, of course, has to do with the history. And, you know, we have got a decline in the incoming orders, but I can say, having said that, I can say that it is on the increase again. So this is good news. The process industries over there have grown. They are now in a stable business. 80 basis points. Negative or adverse exchange rate influences year on year. But we can say, you know, I don't like these subjunctive phrases. You know, if we hadn't this effect last year, then, of course, we would have faced a much, say, more negative situation. The bottom line is that things are moving forward. And your question, are there more adjustments? Will there be more changes, adaptations? You know, if you read the Sunday papers, it looks like that we haven't got any staff anymore, but if you look at the figures, first quarter of the fiscal year, first quarter only, 8,600 jobs were created worldwide. Of those, 1,000 in Germany, more than 1,000 in Germany, and this will continue, you know, during the next or the subsequent three quarters. Having said that, we didn't send notice to anyone. On the contrary, we, created jobs. This is what you have to see when thinking about the justified concerns and the changes which will take place. Mr. Kuhn, and if possible, I would like to ask the colleagues to ask only one or two questions because the list here is very, very long. Matthias Kamm, Wirtschaftswoche. Two questions to you, Mr. Käse. Davos. Thinking about the response and, angry response about things that were said, do you think people misunderstand you? And, the tax reform, you praised this tax reform. And what is it the federal government or maybe the governments in Europe have to do in order to respond, to react to this? Well, there's nothing worse than unsolicited advice. I don't know. Talking about the federal government, the politics and the politicians get lots and lots of, unsolicited advice. Therefore, I do not really want to comment on this. The fact is, if you are talking about this event in Davos and the American president, I assume that you refer to this event because there were 56 others who took part and others who did not take part. No, the situation is like this. First, we hear and see the American president and we congratulated him for his successful tax reform. Because we also, have to say praise what has been done well. And then there's the other story. It may happen that some things will not work out sometimes because, employers do not, participate in share-based savings programs. They just put it on their saving books and sometimes they even have to pay interest rates for not investing these savings. If you talk about the participation of our employees in the share capital or the equity of our company, now, this is another story. But think about it. Because of this tax reform, more money will be available for investments in these companies. This tax reform will create more jobs in this country. And then wealth of those will grow, wealth of those who might be the weaker people in a country. So again, this has to do with employment as well. Now, a company like Apple, if they send a check to the Treasury and cannot write it like they want to because the Treasury hasn't got so many positions here, then I think this tells you a lot and you will certainly agree. Or maybe you remember that at this very point, exactly a year ago, I was actually the only one who voiced this opinion, meaning to what things do not really go down too well when talking about the president. Therefore, I think I should congratulate the president for things which have got, say, a positive and good potential, like creating jobs or other things. And, bear with me that I stop here. As a CEO, you have values. Values which you should not sell. But you also have interests. Not your own interests, but interests for 65,000 people working for us in the United States, for customers buying goods and services in billions of dollars or euros. So I can say these values and the public anger about these things, sometimes it's difficult to reconcile these aspects. And sometimes we think, was it necessary to say, let's say, there will be a new generation of gas turbines, and if we to be developed in the United States. This is something where we have to take a decision. We develop things, or people develop things, where there is a market. We develop things there where, say, brands or patents are being protected. Developments or jobs are created and put into practice wherever this is feasible. And this is an aspect, and you have to, shape your and work out your own opinion about this. Well, now we've got time for one last question only for Mr. Kuhn, please. Well, I've got a boring question, actually, Mr. Thomas. How can I understand this? Siemens Gamesa, a disastrous quarter. I do not want to talk about the first 6 months last year. It doesn't arrive at Siemens, to put it like this, although 50%+, are owned by Siemens. Now, what about medical engineering? Will it be the same? 75% owned by Siemens, that I thought everything will be consolidated. Now, will you take this out of the balance sheet, after the merger? These carved out businesses, are they no longer reflected in the figures? Could you explain this, please, Mrs. Kugel and Mr. Kaiser, in realistic terms? When do you think that these negotiations will come to an end, will be terminated? You said, okay, we have got good talks here, good negotiations, and if you listen to the entrepreneurs, that's one side. If you listen to the trade unions, they do not talk about good questions. They, describe it like a frontline fight, you might say. And Mr. Kaiser, did I understand you correctly? As long as there aren't any adaptations in PG, there is no Vision 2020+. So we might, drag out things until the second half of the year. Mr. Hang, Siemens Gamesa Renewable Energy. Before I try to comment the conclusions you've drawn, I just want to question your thesis. Siemens Gamesa, you said a disastrous quarter. The price of the Gamesa shares against the index, against the IBEX, has risen by 5%, 4% in nominal terms. So the investors obviously didn't have the same kind of perception like you did. So this is a working hypothesis that things will not work out. I think we should place everything in a context. One, and this does not only affect Siemens Gamesa, but it affects the entire wind energy industry. We see a structural change from a highly subsidized environment, from feed-in performance to a highly competitive new field where major contracts are awarded. This might lead to restriction of the dynamism or to a cleanup of the dynamic effects in this business. We therefore introduce these steps very soon, and we are certainly certainly a business which has pushed this consolidation, and we are now in a good position. And this, on account of this, say, merger, we can now generate 83 gigawatts. And the competitors really have to do some catching up in this respect. Looking ahead, and this refers to full consolidation you mentioned, well, this is an accounting rule. You consolidate the equity, the indebtedness, the debts, that is, and everything else. And all units in this consolidation process, these are the majority-owned companies, that is, those controlled by us. And we control them on account of the majority or other aspects. I can say that we are in a position to do whatever the majority shareholders want, and this on behalf of Siemens. We use organic processes in this case. This doesn't work as quickly as some expect or wish, but because of the processes and the decisions which are taken in this count have to, or will affect everyone involved. So please do not be worried. Don't worry at all. We know that we will harness all the levers, we will leverage everything that is in our power in order to have a sustainable and lasting positive result. Well, obviously, you wanted me to make a kind of final statement. Neither those in these agreements, you know, it means we might not have safety or security or secure jobs for the members of staff. We're not interested in, you know, breaking things up, you know. And you said that there are front lines. I think you have to distinguish. There are different levels. Looking at such a dialogue, you know, people will disagree because of their positions. Of course, sometimes you have an argument, surely, but nevertheless, in principle, you trust each other, and this is a good way forward. And I can only say that we are exactly walking along this path. If the summer in Germany will be like we wish it, then I could say that, you know, the weather will still be warm when we have reached, you know, some final conclusions. And as you can see, the crystal ball is still slightly, say, opaque. Mr. Kaiser continues. Let me comment on this. Power generation and what we do here, this is a difficult job. It is about not interfering in the working capacities if not necessary. It's about machine and equipment capacities and, of course, manpower, and this in the various sites. This makes it so dramatic and difficult, you know, particularly those locations and sites which are independent. And then there are, say, interests, and they are not always identical, although they should be identical because we are talking about people who will be affected at the end of the day. But this is not the only aspect which is important in this respect. And you know, if you look at the real world and if you deal with this issue, I went to Görlitz myself and, you know, in the run-up to the AGM, and this is certainly a good stage for conveying and promoting any interests, demonstrating interests in the, you know, in the best sense of this word. You know, there are people in Görlitz, 35, got on their bikes and have been pedaling, cycling to Munich. Maybe this is more reliable, you know, when you compare it with traveling by rail from Berlin to Munich, whatever. You may believe that this is good or not. Well, everyone has to know him or herself whether this is good. Well, you know, I've got my own opinion in this respect, and I thought certainly would be much more convenient to use other modes of transport. You know, Mr. Schiener, at 9:22 p.m., sent a mail. I do not want to read it out now in detail. My name is such and such, he wrote, and we are going to cycle to Munich with our bicycles. Encouraged by your visit in Görlitz in December and also by the statements in Davos, we want to use this action and campaign to signal our readiness and willingness to give our best for this company. But do not misunderstand this. Do not misconstrue it as an action. You might call it a populist action. No, we really want the best for the company, and we want to show that you really can rely on us. This is what he writes to me. Now, why is he doing that? I think people there are afraid that they will be crushed in the millstones of, you know, this mill working. I think they planned, or these 35 people agreed on handing over a message to a representative of shareholders. You know, I am ready to talk to people directly. We do not need a mediator here. But it also shows and demonstrates how difficult the situation is which we face. You know, in a year, record profits. You know, we are in a very, very good position. And You know, this is the problem. It is so very difficult to convey this message. But ladies and gentlemen, let me put it like this. And you probably have a different view. I understand. I accept it. You can help the weak only if you are strong yourself. Those dealing with themselves, fighting with themselves, you know, will not have time to work and help others. Therefore, we use this approach, and then we will be in a position to help those which will be affected by this structural change. And this is what I meant in Davos. You know, we will not leave Görlitz alone. I admit I do not yet know what exactly we are going to do, but we are strong. We are good in most of the things that we are doing. Vision 2020. You know, whether it's still warm or whether the weather, you know, turns colder, you know, you can rest assured it's warm anywhere in the world at any given point in time. You know, we are represented in 34 countries. We are a global company, and I would like to remind you of completing your facts. 30% of our sales are generated in Germany. This 9% of the total business. We are a global company, and this entails interests which we should never forget. You know, we have to talk about things like what a new market should look like, so that at the end of the day, it is successful. You know, I will give you more information during the AGM afterwards. We will really step up our efforts in favor of for the members of staff. We try to maybe not walk in this exactly the same direction, but at least working together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry to say that we have to conclude this press conference. Mrs. Meyer, Mr. Hübner, I know that there are many more questions. Please bear with us. Send in your questions to our colleagues in the press office, and we will see whether we can answer them. And, oh, just Mr. Kayser said, maybe we will be able to answer some of the questions during the analyst's call and the beginning of the AGM. Maybe we will have time to have a discussion. Now, I would like to ask you to listen to the analyst's call in the media conference room. And, we probably will see each other again later in the big hall here on the occasion of the AGM. Have a nice day. Thank you.